like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it's sink or swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it's sink or swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. Welcome to the shrimp tank, word to Chris Hanks. Before to put it all together, this is big thanks. Doing big things, chasing big dreams. Yeah, it's all real, this life's all that it seems. All the chicks scream, all the dudes yell. This is just what I do and I do it well. With the flow fresher than the new shoe smell. Going through hell, well homie keep going. You know the saying, you gon' reap what you sow in. So I don't chase girls, I just chase dreams. Play the same game, but we ain't in the same league. Running a campaign, roadie 2016, like a phone to die, putting me in charge. I'm a general from the front, I'ma lead the charge. Like a federal, fell on my lap, never going hard as ever. The results match the effort.
Hey, everybody, good morning, and welcome to the Shrimp Tank, brought to you right here on Business Radio X Network, right? Where we interview the brightest and best business owners across the state of Georgia and right here in our beautiful city in Atlanta. We talk to you about the do's and don'ts of starting, growing, and running a successful business. We also, from time to time, we're going to bring in kids, the young kids, the future entrepreneurs of tomorrow, who are going to give us their brilliant entrepreneurial ideas, and we can find out whether or not they swim or they sink in the tank. As always, and back, I wonder what happened. I wonder how they let him through customs. I have no idea. But I'm sitting here with my co-host, Chris Hanks. What's going on today, Chris?
I am back from Romania, and what was fun is I got to listen to Shrimp Tank in Romania.
Did you?
I did. I listened to your show.
They translated?
You know what? You guys were not translated into the beautiful language of Romania, which I learned was the closest we have to original Latin.
Is that right?
So yes, because they were conquered by Rome, Romania. So yeah.
Great. There's another class I failed in college.
Yeah. But I did listen to you guys all the way from... the beautiful country.
And what
Romania,
was the experience
was awesome.
like listening to the Shrimp Tank on the other side of the microphone?
This is going to sound so self-serving, but I was listening to it, and instead of like when I listened to it the few times before, instead of the self-criticism, just enjoying the show with you and Lee, I kept thinking, this is a good show.
It is
a pretty
damn good
show. It's a good
show.
That's all I could. I was like, wow, this is actually pretty good. I was entertained and informed, or as we like to say, I was edutained.
I like that. Right. Every time we come on a show, Professor Hanks always gives us at least one hashtag that we have new for Twitter. There's the one day. Edutain is the one pertaining. Now, for those that don't know what's going on at Kennesaw State, sitting here with Chris Hanks, who's the executive director and founder of now the Shore Center for Entrepreneurship. Entrepreneurship is booming in the state of Georgia, but specifically at Kennesaw State, it's exploding. And so is the school under the leadership of Mr. Chris Hanks. And I want to know right now, what's going on inside of KSU at this time of year? Are we getting down to finals time soon? Or what is finals even like for somebody that goes to an entrepreneurship program?
It's very experiential, so it scares me.
What does that mean, though?
So our finals for our class will be, they have to participate in KSU Top 100.
Really?
So yeah. So they have to go through the gauntlet, the fires of entrepreneurship. So they have to experience it. So they're going to pitch in front of investors, much like Shark Tank, but they're going to get mentored by seasoned entrepreneurs, hence The Voice. So it's kind of Shark Tank meets The Voice.
And that starts here in about a month, or is it starting the next semester?
Oh, it's already starting. We're gearing them up. They're working on their businesses. They're getting ready for their pitches, and we are coaching them up. We'll hear a lot, some of them, I'm sure, on the Shrimp Tank, and we will see what we have.
Now, does the winner again win $100,000? Is that what the final prize
is? Absolutely. We start with 100 people, and we cut 99 of them.
Cut 99.
And the winner gets 100,000.
Is it cash, or they win services
as well? It's cash, equity, services.
Wow.
So, yeah.
It's really unbelievable. You have to see what's going on at Kennesaw State. Look, either way, your child, right, is going to have to be an entrepreneur. I was in corporate America, and if you're not an entrepreneur, they will waste you and you will sit at a cube for 15 years and go nowhere. So either way, no matter where you work in a corporation or you start your own business, you've got to learn those entrepreneurial skills. We're going to bring on in just a second our guest today and friend of mine, Cody Hicks. Known Cody a long time and helped launch a wonderful brand here in Atlanta called Atlanta Eats, the best food show here in the city, the people that know the most about food that I've ever met. And they also own Bread and Butter Productions and just a really amazing business model. So we're going to get to Cody in just a second. I'm wondering, Chris, though, you know, as you talk to entrepreneurs, I'm wondering if you got this in Romania as well, or you talked about that. How do entrepreneurs or the kids that you talk to that go through the school at KSU, how do they match passion with reason? Where's that interception line where, you know, somebody's really excited about what they want to do. Sometimes I call it irrational exuberance, right? I get excited about what I don't even know about. But how do they match that with passion and reason? How do you coach them in that and with inside the KSU curriculum?
Yeah, because your talents have to intersect with your skills, and you have to have the desire to sort of bring all that together. So a lot of students are very, very excited. But once they start getting that clarity, that the clarity of, okay, so you're excited about your idea, but now we have to wrap a business around the idea that actually brings it to reality. And so if their passion may start waning when they realize the hard work of entrepreneurship, because going from nothing to something is the toughest job in business, as you know, Ted. You know, entrepreneurship is a tough thing. And so they get through that. Okay, hey, yeah, I want to be my own boss and make a lot of money. Well, great. But now we have the hard work of going from nothing to something and creating value for somebody else, solving a problem for somebody else or serving somebody else. And that's where a lot of the students say, okay, well, wait a minute. That's why we do a lot of pivots. Hey, you know what? The thing that I was originally passionate about, I don't know if it's the best idea. I say, great. Now, what did you learn from that? And how do we change what we're doing?
I know exactly what Chris means, because I felt like the biggest loser when I looked at my Social Security statement, and I'll tell you why. And it was exactly for that reason. My last year that I worked in a W-2 job, I made close to $2 million. So you see your W-2 and you look at your Social Security statement. It's the only way you can really tell like what you earned over time is look at your Medicare earnings, and you looked at it $2 million. And then the next year, zero. Literally nothing. Yeah. Zero.
Yeah.
Nothing on the Social Security statement. I said, how did I go from that much to that little? And then I said, why the hell did I do this? And, you know, now years later, I can appreciate the journey. But
yes,
when you make that switch, it's very difficult. Well, you're listening to the Shrimp Tank right here on the Business Radio X Networks in beautiful Sandy Springs. You never checked out the studio. You ought to come down at some point. What a great place to run a show and do a show. And I'm excited today to tell you that you can listen to an entire replay of this broadcast on shrimptankpodcast.com. I'm sure what Cody tells us today, you're going to want to learn, and here's why. I have known Cody for almost a decade now, and here's an amazing thing. For those of you that don't know the backstory on 790 The Zone Sports Radio, I, Ted Jenkin, advertised on that station when I started my business. They convinced me to spend $100,000. Had I known anything about radio, anything about how far a signal traveled in this city, I'll bet I would not have done it. But I believed in what Andrew Saltzman and Steak Shapiro told me at the time and said, go on the station, advertise. And it was the greatest thing that I ever did for my business. So those that don't know, 790 The Zone actually never even owned a cell tower. They actually leased ours and sold out radio and built a multi-billion. I think at one point they were doing 15 million of sales. And Cody were the brains behind running all the promotions, all the growth of what happened. Don't let you think that, I know Steak might be listening. Don't let you think it was those two. It was people like Cody behind the scenes that were running this. And so they opened up a business a few years back now that's booming here in Atlanta called Atlanta Eats and Bread and Butter Productions. And I'm curious, Cody, about how you got involved in making this jump from sports radio to food. It just seems like such a different not even in the same ballpark.
Right.
How did you guys get started and think that doing food would end up being a good business?
Right. Well, thanks for having me first. This is fun. This is a lot of fun. Glad to be here with you guys. And, you know, it's interesting, kind of the founder story, if you will, of Atlanta Eats. We were in radio and Steak, obviously a great name for somebody going into a food industry. But, you know, we started brainstorming. We actually were just acquired by Lincoln Financial Media, and we were brainstorming what was next, what we were going to do. And at the end of the day, what was our IP, what was our equity in the city? And it was around advertisers, Atlanta being a great, you know, Fortune 500 company supported by major advertisers around the city, and obviously our personal passion. So, you know, both very passionate about sports, both very passionate about food. We'd already done the sports thing. So how do we create a business around food? And again, remind you, this was 5 years ago. So the whole foodie craze really hadn't taken off yet. So especially Atlanta, you know, was a great food city. At the time, we were the number one food city in the country when it comes to percentage of food dollars spent on dining out. So more people eating out in Atlanta than any other city across the country. If you looked at, you know, from just anecdotally, we're not a great sports city because there's so many transients. We're not very sophisticated when it comes to the fine arts. It's really food and dining is how we operate in the city. It's how we entertain. It's how we do business. It's a passion point. And so we saw an opportunity very much like in the sports world where Steak and Andrew created a very successful sports radio, sports marketing company, because there was none. We saw a similar opportunity in Atlanta around food and creating a food media company, given people's passions about food and restaurants in Atlanta.
So that kind of brings up an interesting point to me, because a lot of people would probably see that opportunity. Like, wow, there's a lot of people going out to dine and going out for restaurants, but you guys decided to sort of seize the opportunity and actually do something about it. So how did you get started, and what was just sort of the first step? How do people break through, hey, I see an opportunity versus I'm now going to seize it?
Sure. Example, it was steak. You know, steak's a visionary. Steak Shapiro, for the listeners out there, he's a visionary. He sees an opportunity. For him, also, he just came from owning a company and then was acquired. So he's now a full-time employee of someone else. And when you're that entrepreneurial type, mindset, it doesn't last very long to work for somebody else. And then secondly, the radio world's a very volatile industry. He was an on-air personality, and he's not going to move his family to another city if something happened. So he wanted some security in creating something new on his own. So I would give, in terms of the visionary and making that jump, as you phrased it, that was steak. And he almost had to talk me into it, or he did talk me into it. I was living a great life at 790 The Zone, very secure, good pay. And so for him, it was actually talking me into that. And I was resistant of that at first. I didn't think I was a foodie and didn't want to do food. And he's like, do you want to build a business? Do you want to build something from the ground up? And that's when I took the jump and decided to go into business with them.
Well, it looks like in Atlanta to me that there's probably a restaurant opening up every single day. And I'm not just talking about chains or franchises. I'm talking about, it seems like there's a new restaurant that opens up every single day. It probably is not that big, but then again, maybe it is, because it isn't just in the city. It seems like it's happening in the suburbs as well. You have all these microcosms of small little work, live, play type cities.
Yeah.
What do you talk about with restaurants today about how to make their brand and their business successful? Because I think it's not, for the listeners hearing this show, it's important to brand in general. You're working in this highly competitive industry of restaurants. How do you advise those businesses to make their restaurants, to make their brand successful?
Yeah, it's tough. It's why, restaurants, I think the failure rate's 60% within the first year.
Is that what it is?
And 80% within 5 years. It's tough. And especially in a city like Atlanta, where there's just, we're at the point now where there's more supply than demand. It's not even a marketing thing. There's some very good restaurants that do a very good job with product and service and branding and marketing, and they're going out of business. There's not enough, demand out there. So for us, when we're talking to restaurants, the problem with the restaurant industry is, we look at business, it's art and science. Marketing is art and science. And these chefs, a lot of them go into business on the artistic side. They cook an amazing, pasta bolognese or whatever, and they're on the art side of it, and they think that just pure, great food is gonna allow them to grow their business, and they don't know the business side of it. And that's from a marketing standpoint, like you're talking about, and that's just purely from a P&L standpoint and the back end, hard cost and profit margins. They're just not business operators. And so we see a lot of failure just because they're thinking that purely good food is gonna drive success, which you need more than that in today's marketplace.
Hey, you're listening to The Shrimp Tank right here on the Business Radio X Networks. This is our guest today, Cody Hicks, who's the Chief Brisket Officer.
That's right.
I still love that every time I say that. God damn it, it sounds so good. It really does. But help really found Atlanta Eats here and Bread and Butter Productions, which is just booming. And the food business is booming here in Atlanta. You can catch a replay again of all of our broadcasts by downloading us on iTunes to get The Shrimp Tank, or you can go to shrimptankpodcast.com. And I'm wondering here, Cody, as you talk about businesses in the restaurant business, it seems to me in the restaurant business, and I could be wrong, that having just one location is very difficult to make a lot of money. And that may be true for a lot of businesses, but how do you talk to, or how would you advise entrepreneurs out there and what you've seen in the restaurant business about trying to scale a concept? Because I think the restaurants is a sexy business. There are a lot of people that want to open up a bar or a restaurant, and then they get into it and realize it's, not that easy. Now, would recommend to an entrepreneur how to scale one of these?
Right. Good question. And I think it goes back to the individual. I'm a big believer in do you. And so, I'll give you two different examples. Kevin Rathbun, who arguably started the kind of independently owned restaurant celebrity chef craze in Atlanta, Rathbun's. You know, he opened probably 10 years ago in down in Inman Park, which at the time, you know, if you walk down the sidewalk, you're stepping over bums and hyperdermic needles. And it was not what it is today, right, with the Beltline and the, you know, Krog Street Market and all that. You know, he went, I think, 8 years without opening as a second location.
Is that right?
8 years. Yeah. So Rathbun's, he was there and then he did not open a second location for 8 years. And, you know, if you talk to him about it, so there's a lot of money to be made off one restaurant. You know, create efficiencies, build a brand, do what you do well. And he's that, he's chef-minded. He's not business-minded, although he's changed a little bit to become more business-minded. But he opened up his restaurant because he was passionate about the industry. Now, take that and look at Ford Fry, who, you know, again, great restaurateur.
Yeah, he cranks him out.
He cranks him out. I don't know. I mean, he's 20-something restaurants or something.
Is that how
like
many
that.
He
I
has? He's got to be at least 10.
It's at least 10. He's opened one in Houston. So he has scaled very quickly. He's had access to capital and he's a little bit more business-minded. So, you know, both of them work. I'm sure they're both doing very well. But I think it comes down to where are you comfortable? You know, are you comfortable growing fast like a Ford Fry and the uncertainty of that and the capital requirements of that? Or Kevin Rathbun, where you're okay with slow and steady, right, who's doing very well for himself now.
Fat Matt's. Fat Matt's doesn't have a second location, right? Or do they?
No, they do not have a second
location. It's just that one little place there,
right,
where they make all that money.
Well, and think about it too. You know, if you ask Kevin, it's you need that chef there every single night watching every single plate that comes out, guest experiences, everything in the restaurant industry. You know, Howe's, great success story, Howe's Steakhouse. They've been in that location for 20-something years, great steakhouse in Buckhead. Howe is there every single night at a high top right at the end of the line watching every single dish that comes out. That's quality control. If you're a Ford Fry or you're a restaurant where you're starting to scale very quickly, my concern would be how do you maintain those quality standards in each one of your locations when you can't be there with the oversight?
So based on your experience with all of these establishments, what's the biggest surprise to you? Like, what have you learned that's the biggest aha for you?
I think at a 30,000-foot perspective, it's been people's interest in food and dining out in general. It's been amazing over the 5 years, and I think it's been 5 years since that has really turned, that people are just super passionate about food now. We're an ad-supported business model, and we tell...
Is that how the model works?
Yeah, we're ad-supported. So we monetize the audience online, TV, our radio show through advertisers.
So a restaurant doesn't pay you to go on... You pick the restaurants you want.
So it's both. It's both and. So editorially, we pick some restaurants, and then the restaurants, we're a marketing platform for restaurants to reach their audience and drive business as well. So it's both and. But back to, in terms of the interest in food, to me, that's been the most interesting thing over the past 5 years. And I say it to our advertisers all the time, is food is now a universal passion point. It just is. It's, you know, sports, music, food. That's the zeitgeist in today's culture, regardless of demographic. You know, what's been most surprising is the millennials. So, you know, you think about a demographic that may not have the money to go out and go to a Rathbun's or go to a, you know, a Preachy. They are now paying for experiences versus, you know, goods. So when I was growing up, dinner was a means to an end. You know, you went out to dinner and it was just getting you to your bar, club to right, drink your face off for the rest of the night. It was just a stop. Now for millennials, dinner is the experience. That's the end point. You're going out with your friends. You're having a 2-hour meal. You're enjoying yourself. You're paying for the dining experience. So that's been most interesting, is just the interest in food. I mean, you look at traditional media, you know, food programming, which is really the business we're in, CNN, News Network, Anthony Bourdain.
They've always got food. I heard Anthony Bourdain is actually opening up like his own almost Mario Batali Italy type thing on the west side of New York. That he's got, it's like Parts Unknown, where he's actually going to try and bring in the real people from all these places have a place that you can walk in. But you're actually, it's not going to be like some person they found in, you know, Battery Park. It's going to be people they actually brought over to cook there. And I thought it's a pretty amazing concept.
Yeah, but you look at CNN, you look at The Chew on daytime television, obviously Food Network and Cooking Channel, the success there. You know, food, you look on Facebook. I just read an article. BuzzFeed now has a food channel called Tasty. I don't know if you've seen these videos.
Yeah.
So it's the overhead cam.
You can't not watch them. I never knew how to make like a healthy Kung Pao chicken until I saw a Tasty video.
It's amazing. So they get 2 billion video views on Facebook a month. Mm. Oh. More people watching Facebook Tasty videos on Facebook than watch the Super Bowl this year. It's crazy. So just the interest in food And it being part of the fabric of our culture has been the most interesting thing to me. And obviously the restaurant industry being the beneficiaries of that.
Hanks, those are only second to the World Star Hip Hop videos on Facebook. Right. So that's, right. That's first. And right. Tape it. They are crazy. Like, you can't not watch it when they're making some like Oreo rolled cheesecake. It's like, I could make that, you know?
It's fascinating.
Until you realize you probably can't. Then you right. do it in your kitchen. It's right. not going to be that good. Well, we're going to take a quick break from our sponsors. And when we come back, we're going to do our Hot or Not section with Cody Hicks, who's the Chief Brisket Officer of Atlanta Eats and Bread and Butter Productions. And we're going to find out whether or not Cody thinks it's a good idea to franchise. We'll be right back here on the Shrimp Tank.
Does it seem like the more money you make, the more money seems to slip through your fingers? Why is that you make six figures, but seem to have six figures worth of bills? Now it's time to get a plan. Set up time today to start your 21-day cleanse. Go to OxygenFinancial.net to schedule a complimentary meeting now. Go to OxygenFinancial.net to get started today. Securities offered through Kestra Investment Services, LLC. Member, FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through Kestra Advisory Services, LLC. An affiliate of Kestra Investment Services. Oxygen is not affiliated with Kestra.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Shrimp Tank, coming to you live every Thursday, 11:30 to 12:30, right here in the Business Radio Network studios, right in Sandy Springs. Close and local to you. That's the way we like to do our broadcasting. I'm Ted Jenkins, your co-host, sitting here with my co-host, Chris Hanks, who's the executive director and founder of the Now Shore Center for Entrepreneurship. I'm getting used to saying that, Chris. I am.
For sure.
For sure. Is that the thing on campus? For sure. I want to say before we get to the hot or not section, again, you can always hear a replay of what Cody talked about us in the first segment on shrimptankpodcast.com. Or download us on iTunes. Just hit Shrimp Tank. You can listen to us in the car on the way to work if you don't catch us live. I want to say, Cody, I was just out in Napa before we get to this. And I was out in Napa for a few days. And for those that have never been out to Napa, Chef Thomas Keller is probably one of the most famous chefs in the United States. He had a restaurant he started out there called The French Laundry. I, Ted Jenkins, was too cheap to part with $500 per head, even though my friend Lee Heisman would tell me I need to spend that money. He would have done it. I did not. What I did instead, which is amazing, is he has three or four concepts that are out there. And one of the ones that we kill it here in Atlanta is I ate at a restaurant called Ad Hoc. And what Ad Hoc is whatever's really in the kitchen and fresh in the garden, that's the meal. There's no menus. The menu is the menu. You come, you eat whatever it is. If you don't like it, well, you're tough out of luck. I mean, you make a reservation, it could be fish, it could be chicken. I was lucky enough to be there on the night where he makes once a month his famous buttermilk fried chicken.
Oh, wow.
Oh my God.
Mouthwatering. Is it lunchtime?
That sounded really good.
It was amazing. And there was like a peanut butter chocolate bread pudding, something like that for dessert. It was amazing. But it was a really cool concept, I thought, because when you go, there's actually no pressure for ordering at all. Like, because sometimes maybe too big of a menu. And I guess that's one of the hotter knots I wanted to start with here. Is it like ever a bad idea to like a cheesecake factory, like a restaurant that has too much stuff where you get overwhelmed when you go there?
Yeah, I think the good news with all the interest in food and dining out in today's culture we live in, people are becoming much more open-minded to new food experiences, which to me is one of the benefits of what's going on. So, you know, you took a look locally at Gun Show, same thing, no menu. Oh. You show up and chefs are cooking the food with what they have, and the chef is bringing it out to you to ask you if you want it or not. And literally, the chef that prepared the dish is asking you, do you want this fried dumpling or not? And so it's a really cool experience. I'm a big believer in the restaurant industry. You can't just rely on product. You gotta, it's product and service, meaning like a special experience, something memorable. To me, the food is obviously why people are going to a restaurant, but it's the experience that is gonna keep them coming back. So I think, you talk about Ad Hoc, that's memorable. I'm sure the food was delicious, but you've had a lot of great fried chicken in your life.
Right.
It's really the whole thing about them not having a menu and serving that's the story, right? We're as a species, we love story and Gun Show. And you look at Antico Pizza locally Giovanno's story of being homeless in New York and coming down here and open up a pizza place and, the communal, tables where you come in and you're sitting with 20 other people you don't know in the lines and in the BYOB. So it's really the experience to me that makes a restaurant really special. And so I think if that's one way to do it is not having a menu and serving what's fresh, then so be it. That works.
Yeah, that creates a little bit of a placebo effect, I would imagine, right? So like if I sort of belief in, you tend to experience what you believe you'll experience. So if I think that, wow, this is going to be amazing, and there's a little bit of a placebo effect before I go in, there seems to be like, that's what you're referring to. Like, okay, that chicken in that environment probably tasted better than if you would have gotten that chicken to go.
Cody, that's why Hanks is a professor and we're not, because I can't come up with phrases like the placebo effect.
As it relates to a restaurant.
Right? That is damn good. That is good stuff.
So hot or not, you mentioned your business model is ad supported. Are those business models hot or are they not?
Yeah, it is. You know, you look at the platform changes, right? So right now, majority of our revenue comes from the TV show, the TV being the platform where we're monetizing our audience. But we're quickly starting to monetize our digital platforms as well. So we have over 100,000 followers across our digital network. So Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, Twitter, YouTube. And we're starting to monetize those audiences as well. And that's really what's going on. You look at any new social digital platform, whether it be, YouTube and influencers there, and they're monetizing from a cost per thousand standpoint or through branded content. So it's all the same, whether it was in daytime television when you had branded integration with soap operas, or now with Netflix and ad integration there to YouTube, we're always ad supported. We're always going to monetize that audience. Just the platform changes.
So is it the kind of model where if you build it, they will come? Or, you know, like I got a new show, now I got to get advertisers for it, you know, but you're getting questions about how many eyeballs, how many people are seeing it. How do you do it from scratch? Like if somebody's out there listening and says, look, I'm doing this from scratch, I don't have listeners or I don't have eyeballs, what do you do if you're going to do ad supported?
Well, I think it depends on the platform, right? So the good thing about, you know, now the distribution is no longer the hurdle. Back in when it was all TV, you had to have a network partner. Production is expensive. So very hard to go into it without advertisers. Today's world, there's no barrier for distribution. You have access to audience through podcasts, through, you know, SlideShare, through YouTube. So you can build an organic audience. You just have to be patient. And I would tell you, it all comes down to talent. So, you know, people say they want to build an audience and I want to become a YouTube influencer. You have to have a talent. In the same way, I can't say I want to play in the NBA and have a great jump shot. I'll never be able to do that. So people that want to build that audience, you have to have a good concept. You have to be a good storyteller. You have to be good at creating content. You know, look at Ted and what he's done in the finance realm. You know, he's a great storyteller. He creates great content that's engaging and relevant to his audience. It's no different if you're a 12-year-old on Vine and you're wanting to create funny videos for your demo.
You know, one of those guys make millions. I saw him on 60 Minutes.
It's crazy.
He literally gets paid hundreds of thousands of dollars for ad because the guy could do a split. He's like that long blonde-haired guy.
Yeah.
I don't know what his name is, but a pretty cool job.
Yeah. I mean, so, you know, I guess the good news is now with social, you can build the audience. You just have to be patient. It's a long game. And then you can monetize it.
Yeah.
You don't need advertisers. You know, advertisers won't pay you in the beginning. You know, they, in TV, they forced viewership. Your 60 minutes, you have to watch us. Now there's unlimited access to, you know, there's the fragmentation of a social environment. You have to be a good storyteller and you have to be entertaining to drive that audience that you can then monetize.
All right, Chris, let's do one more hot or not, because I definitely want to get to a plead the fifth section with Cody. That's I've been looking forward to that all week.
All right.
My wife's not listening.
So many restaurants are franchised. Hot or not, franchising.
Yeah. So, you know, I kind of look at that from a different lens. You know, most of the restaurants we work with are independently owned, small, you know, one or two, maybe four or five locations. And so, you know, for me, I look at kind of what's happening, the trend. You know, you see same store sales going down in your major brands that are being franchised. And it's that factory mindset of a McDonald's or, you know, what have you. You look at a Shake Shack that hasn't franchised. They've just grown organically and what they, you know, Danny Myers has been able to do. And controlling everything back to that, you know, customer experience, back to quality control. You give up a lot of that when you go to the franchise route. So, you know, I would have to say if you are patient, you can, you know, have the capital to grow organically, retain ownership, retain control, probably is a better bet than franchising.
Hey, you're listening to the Shrimp Tank right here on the Business Radio Network. We are talking with Cody Hicks, who's the Chief Brisket Officer, Atlanta Eats, and also Bread and Butter Productions. Just a booming business here in Atlanta. If you've never caught the show, you ought to check it out. It's unbelievable. If you haven't gone to their website, check out the stories, the articles on there. It's truly amazing. They are pioneering and leading the food scene here in Atlanta. We're going to take a quick break from our sponsors. And when we come back, we're going to get a chance to play Plead the Fifth with Cody. I'm going to find out if he'll tell us the worst meal he's ever had in Atlanta right back when we come here with the Shrimp Tank.
Are you tired of band-aiding your technological needs? Is your network up to par with industry standards? Welcome to Secure IT from Savant. Secure IT is a monitoring solution that allows the team at Savant to proactively support all of your technical needs. We take the time up front to learn your network so that we can resolve any issues. So why wait? Take the worry out of technology today. Call now to schedule a free network evaluation, 770-438-6240.
Hey, welcome back to the Shrimp Tank. We come to you live 11:30 to 12:30 every Thursday right here on the Business Radio X Network. I'm sitting here with my co-host, Chris Hanks. I'm Ted Jenkins, joining you as your co-host. Got Lee Heisman in the background. He was on last week. Let me just tell you what. Lee told me at one time he was thinking about opening up a small restaurant. Not really a restaurant, but a specialty. I thought it was going to be Lee's Potato Latke Shop. And just me and him being Jews, we thought about doing it. I would put some capital into it. And still, you know, if you're interested, it's this time of year, Lee, we could make a lot, you know, during Rosh Hashanah and all that stuff. He could have made a lot of money. A lot of money. In fact, I understand in town here, though, that General Muir may have the best potato latkes. Is that, that's my first plea, the fifth, which is, are they the best potato latkes in the city or not?
Well, can I use that as a jumping off point?
You tell
so
me,
we
yeah.
just interviewed Alton Brown. So General Muir is owned
Did
by
you
Todd
really,
Ginsburg.
Alton Brown?
Yeah. So Ted Ginsburg owns the General Muir. He also owns a place called Fred's Meat and Cheese
That's
in Croc
supposed
Street.
To be killing it right
so
now.
So sandwich shop in Croc Street Market, which is Inman Park. So we just interviewed Alton Brown, of course, Food Network star, travels the country eating professionally, on record as saying the best Philly cheesesteak in the country is at Fred's.
What?
Wow.
Best Philly cheesesteak in the country, is at Fred's. Yeah.
Really?
Fred's meat and cheese.
Okay, I'm going to have to try that out. I'm going to have to
You normally wouldn't drive for a sandwich, but this sandwich is worth the drive. It's amazing.
Wow.
Yep. So sorry.
Wow.
Not to get a sidetrack.
No, that's great. I love that. Yeah. How about answering my question that I teased into the break here? Because I know you've had a lot of great meals. You may not be able to tell me the best meal that you've had. But what's the worst meal that you've had, period? Doesn't have to be in Atlanta, in case you don't want to offend anybody that's, you know.
Well, so, yeah, this is a problem for me, right? So our business model, our mission statement is to get more people eating out more often. So this is kind of a conflict, internal conflict for me. Without naming the place, it's a sushi restaurant that you guys have all heard. It is a higher end sushi restaurant in town.
Wow.
And, you know, think about sushi. When you go high-end sushi, you expect high-end experience, quality food, clean taste. It was anything but that. So, but it wasn't even necessarily the meal that was the problem. It was 2 weeks later, the AJC reports their health scores.
Right.
It was this sushi restaurant, which had failed up with a very terrible, I think it was like a 65. And you talk about placebo. I don't know that you can get food poisoning 3 weeks later, but instantly my stomach's turning. Just the idea, the visual of eating sushi and knowing that.
Calling all OSHA regulators,
Exactly. So again, without naming the place, that was a bad experience just because of knowing potentially what I ate and ingested that day.
Nice.
But that's my answer.
Wow. Mm. So with all of your dealings with restaurants, what have you seen that you wish you could unsee?
Wow. Specifically with food. That's a great question. I don't know an answer to that off the top of my head. Can I plead the fifth?
Yeah.
I get one, right? Is that the rule?
Yeah.
All right. Here's my next plead the fifth here. Right. Have you and Steak Shapiro spent more than $1,000 at Hal's?
Yes. I don't even know the time frame, but yes. Yes. But you know, it's an interesting question. So,
is that your favorite place?
So favorite needs a qualifier, right? It's like favorite kid. So is it a date night with my wife to celebrate an anniversary? Is it a boys' night out? So
nice.
We need a qualifier. But what we like to ask is, you know, we get asked all the time, what's our favorite restaurant? And that's our follow-up question. But what I think is a better question is, when you look at your credit card statement at the end of the year, what restaurant, which location gets more food dollars than any other place? So that could be, you know, if you go enough, that could be a Chick-fil-A, and it's all over the board. So it's really a function of kind of a cost per visit and how many times you visit it. So to me, that's the question I like to ask, and I'll have Ted and Chris answer that question if I can turn the tables.
So,
you want my favorite?
Not favorite. What gets the majority? What's most food dollars from you over the course of a year?
Boy, that is a good question.
All the food you bring to the radio station, right?
I'll tell you what, there's a lot of places that I spend money. I'm not sure over the past year in here. I'm thinking it's somewhere close to my house because we end up eating out a lot. It could be Alpine Bakery there. We order out a lot from them, a lot of stuff. Great desserts and great food there, but I'm not sure. That'd be an interesting question.
Yep. Yeah. Well, for me, it would have to be the beautiful, wonderful dining experience at Kennesaw State University. Nice. You know, our cafeteria is actually ranked nationally as one of the best cafeterias.
I heard there's like 10 restaurants there, right?
So, and the cafeteria itself, it's nowhere near like when we went to college. I mean, it's amazing. And a lot of the stuff is local. They grow their own lettuce and that kind of thing. So the dining experience is actually quite good. So I spend so much time there building the leading entrepreneurship center.
There you go.
So most of my dining dollars go right there.
Didn't he come from Bacchanalia or Rathbun's? The guy heading up the culinary program at Kennesaw State University, he has a pedigree. He has a great pedigree. I think it's Bacchanalia, which is the number one rated restaurant in the city. I think that's who it is.
I've actually heard students get off the meal plan because they're worried about losing too much weight because it's all you can eat and you can go in anytime. And they're like, you know, I'm getting off the meal plan because that freshman 15 is turning into a little bit more than that. So they'll get off specifically for that reason.
I believe it.
How about the worst chef you ever had to work with on a shoot? Now, I'm not saying the worst chef, period.
I mean, personal question. I mean, I love these
questions.
You know,
I'm curious to hear. Is there a moderately difficult chef to work with?
You know,
worse?
Here's the good thing about chefs is for the most part. So we've created Bread and Butter, which is kind of our content creation division of our company. So we work with a lot of national brands and chefs. In Vegas, we've worked with Thomas Keller, who you mentioned, and Wolfgang Puck and Mario Batali. That level, those guys are professionals. You know, you turn on the camera, they're speaking in sound bites. They give you exactly what you need. They're all business. Locally, you almost have the opposite problem. A lot of these chefs have never been in front of a camera. And when that light comes on, it's nerves, it's fear, it's stuttering. So it's not so much working with bad chefs, just, you know, from a professional standpoint, we're trying to deliver a great product on the TV show and on our digital platform. So they just, you know, some of the chefs locally do not have the experience in that arena. So it makes it kind of tough to create TV magic, as it were, when you're dealing with.
Let's do two more, Chris. Let's do two more. You have two more plead the fifth?
So two more plead the fifth.
Trying to get me to my second plead the fifth. I know what you guys are doing.
I want to know here, was the high roller drinking experience in Las Vegas on the Ferris wheel the best one, the best that you've ever had for a drinking experience? Was it amazing?
Yeah. So for your listeners, so they have a Ferris wheel in Las Vegas now where literally it takes, I believe, an hour to make a full circle. And they're enclosed, probably the size of this room can fit, you know, 20 to 30 people, and full bar, full open bar. So you're literally in Vegas, which, you know, everything goes in Vegas and what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. And it's all, everything goes. So you can pick your own plate.
Do they have a bathroom in that Ferris wheel?
Great question.
I'm thinking like it's an hour and it takes an hour to go around the full bar.
That's a great point.
Do they have a bathroom there?
There's a poll in about eight of them. So it just depends on like which, you know.
Well, what's interesting, so Steak Shapiro, my partner, he's, you know, radio, he's a interview, you know, from radio, he interviews. And so every conversation we get in Vegas, he's very inquisitive and starts drilling these people with questions. And so we're on this Ferris wheel, poor bartender, you know, so, you know, what's the craziest thing you've ever seen? Have people, you know, had relations in here? Have you ever kicked somebody out? I mean, just drilling this. And when I tell you that everything has happened in that Ferris wheel, everything has happened in that Ferris wheel. But a great view for what it's worth.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Wow. So you're like listening to this sounds like you almost have the dream business, right? It sounds so awesome. What stinks about this business? What's the thing that you dislike the most?
Yeah. You know, just building a business is the hardest thing I've ever done. It's been much harder than I ever thought it would be. You know, I went into it kind of romantic that we had built a successful media company in Atlanta. It was going to be easy, same kind of growth trajectory. And it's been tough. It's hard to build a local media brand organically without much capital. So it's a lot harder than I thought it would be. And I guess the second part of that question is, even once you've arrived, you've never arrived. You know, it's constantly reinventing yourself and figuring out what's the next idea. How do you scale? How do you grow? How do you create efficiencies? So to me, that has been the hardest part is just, it's been harder than I thought it would be. And then that constant, you know, reinvention of yourself and trying to grow the company from year to year.
Yeah, because neither success nor failure is ever final.
Zero. This is true. Yep.
Well, hey, Cody, we want to thank you for coming on the program today. I have to tell you something. I've had the good fortune to work with Cody and Steak Shapiro for a lot of years. They are some of the most wonderful people in the world. You should get to know them. So people who are listening to the program today who may think, hey, I have a business and I might be an advertiser, it might be good to put my brand on Atlanta Eats, or they just want to check it out as a consumer and all the great events that you put on for people here in Atlanta. How can people learn more about Atlanta Eats and get to know the brand better?
Yeah, go to our website, AtlantaEats.com. Every social channel, Atlanta Eats TV. And then if you want to email me personally, Cody, C-O-D-Y, at AtlantaEats.com.
Always good to get in touch with the chief brisket officer. This That's where true. All the cooking happens. So next week, coming on our show, we're going to have Sean Vernamo, who is the owner of the Roofing Construction Corporate. We're going to learn more about, I guess, putting on a roof and just how you make money doing that right here on the Shrimp Tank.
I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in.